This is the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast, and this is another survivor story.
All right, ever feel that sibling rivalry thing? Like, come on, was it just me, or did my brother always get the bigger slice of cake?
Oh, I hear ya.
Always thought, Mom, maybe, just maybe. Played favorites a little.
Yeah.
But we're going deeper today. This isn't just about, like, childhood tugs of war over toys.
Right.
This is about the long game. What happens when you grow up, not just with a favorite sibling, but with a golden child?
Yeah.
One who's always on that pedestal.
Mm.
And how that messes with the rest of us, just trying to figure out who we are.
Right.
And to guide us, we've got this powerful letter. It was sent to the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast.
Okay.
Raw, honest. Someone literally living this, not some textbook definition.
And you know, the thing is, what grabs you right away in this letter? It doesn't paint the parents as these, like, totally checked out figures. They're there, involved even, but their behavior, it's like the engine of the whole narcissistic train wreck.
Okay, so it's not just about pointing fingers at the golden child.
It's the whole family system, man. That's where it gets really interesting.
It takes a village to mess a kid up, huh?
Sadly, sometimes. And you see this early on, the letter writer's 6th birthday party.
Ah, come on, 6 years old, that's your day.
Right. Cake, presents, the whole bit. But the older brother, Ryan, tantrum. Because he's not the center of attention.
Oh, no.
And instead of the parents being like, dude, it's your sibling's birthday, they cater to him.
No way.
First slice of cake, gets to open a present.
Oof. Talk about deflating for a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Your own birthday. And it's about someone else.
And it's deeper than just the cake, right? This is that core wound for so many who lived this. My needs, my feelings, not as important.
Invisible.
Yeah. Like, your worth is measured by how well you cater to the golden child.
And this isn't a one-time thing in the letter, is it?
Oh, no. As the writer grows up, it's like this broken record.
How so?
Achievements, talents, friendships, all filtered through. Well, how does this compare to Ryan?
So even when you do something awesome, it's never enough.
There's always that unspoken measuring stick, which is impossible to live up to.
I bet.
The letter writer mentions getting an A on a test.
Oh, that's great.
Instead of good job, it's Ryan got an A last week.
Ouch.
And it's not about the grade, right? It's that message. You'll never be good enough, no matter how hard you try.
You start to believe that, the whole never enough thing?
Totally. Becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's sad, really.
And heartbreaking, because the letter writer talks about this science fair project, poured their heart into it.
I remember those days. So much effort.
But again, parents totally overshadow it, praising Ryan for winning a soccer award.
Which, hey, good for Ryan. Athletics are important. But T, your other kid built a solar system.
And it's more than the project itself, you know? It's about which kids' passions are nurtured, whose dreams are worthy.
And that message, that yours aren't rough.
The non-golden child, they start to think their interests just don't matter as much.
Like they're invisible.
Exactly. They're worth tied to how they measure up to this, like, perfect image of their sibling.
And of course, it doesn't magically get better when they're teenagers.
Right. Oh, if only. Teenage years are hard enough as it is. This just complicates things even more.
Like adding fuel to a fire that's already raging out of control, right?
Exactly. The letter writer talks about how when they hit those teenage years, Ryan's manipulation, it goes next level.
And I bet from the outside, people be like, whoa, red flag. Inside the family?
It's the family's normal, sadly. Everyone's kind of stuck in their roles.
Wow.
There's even this whole thing about getting a driver's license, which, come on, freedom. Huge for a teenager.
Oh, I remember that like it was yesterday. The keys in your hand, that new car smell.
Right. You'd think. Celebration. This kid worked hard, but classic. The parents are like, weekends, it's yours.
Uh-oh. I sense a butt coming.
But Ryan, he wants to go to a party.
Wait, he doesn't even drive yet, does he?
Nope. Still doesn't have his license.
So it's like the letter writer is being punished for wanting something for themselves, for not just handing everything over to Ryan.
And there's that control aspect again. It's not just Ryan being an attention hog. He throws a fit, calls the letter writer selfish. What happens?
Parents cave every single time.
And think about the message that sends to both of them.
Oh, for sure.
Ryan's learning my wants. Always come first. Doesn't matter what anyone else needs. And tantrums get me what I want.
Well, the letter writer's learning your needs. Always come second. Actually, scratch that last.
Exactly. No wonder this stuff gets dragged into adulthood.
Right. Like, how could it not?
And that's where so many people listening might connect, even if they didn't have it this extreme. That feeling, You gotta overachieve constantly.
Prove yourself.
While other people just, I don't know, coast.
You're carrying this baggage from way back. And it affects your relationships, work, even how you see yourself.
It's not just kids' stuff you outgrow. This is about your core beliefs getting shaped by this messed up family system.
So you're walking around trying to be perfect for people, but you don't even know why.
Exactly. And what's so powerful is the letter writer, they have this turning point. A lot of people never get there.
What happened? What changed for them?
They realized, and this is huge EE, their parents created this. It wasn't about the letter writer being not enough.
Wow.
They separated themselves from the behavior. It was like, this isn't me, this is them. My worth doesn't come from whether they approve of me or what Ryan's doing.
Like a mental jailbreak. Yeah. You're not stuck trying to get those people to validate you anymore.
So freeing. And honestly, often that's the first step to really healing. You're taking back your story. It's not about their version of you anymore. You decide what matters, what you've accomplished.
Not through their messed up lens.
Exactly. And what's interesting, the letter writer, they still have contact with their family, but, big but, they redefine those relationships on their terms.
Which is tough. It's like setting boundaries, maybe having those hard conversations.
And accepting you can't change other people.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
Especially with family. You want to think they'll come around or...
You can't control them, but you control how you react to them, how much space you give them.
Taking back your power, right.
100%. And that's what makes this letter so powerful, I think. It ends hopeful, but real. It's not about pretending the past didn't happen. Or forcing your family into some big change. It's saying, my healing, that's on me. I get to build a life where I decide my story.
Where you are enough, period.
Yeah.
Not enough compared to...
And for anyone listening who, this whole thing, it hit a nerve.
Yeah.
Even if you never had a name for it before, think about this. What's one tiny thing, just one, you can do today to put yourself first?
Maybe it's that boundary we talked about. Or just being kinder to yourself, acknowledging, hey, this messed me up.
You're not alone in this.
Yeah.
And your worth, never forget, it was never tied to them anyway.
Thank you for listening to another survivor story on the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast. Do you have a story about overcoming narcissistic abuse? We invite you to share your experience and help others heal. Reach out to us on TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram. Just subscribe and send us a direct message with your survivor story. Your story could be featured in an upcoming episode of the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast.